Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. This bubbly opening belies the time that I'm recording this show. Not only is it the day after Charlie Kirk's assassination that I'm recording this, but it's also the 24th anniversary of 9/11 that I'm recording this program. So before we get into all of that, first we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing us to have this free speech platform. So far, they have not been threatened except by sponsors and potential clients because, you know, a lot of people out there don't really support free speech anymore. But we do want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for their continued support. We want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Silk or Joe Show is up there. Podcasts of the show are up there. The Alan Nathan Show is up there, too. Sometimes I guest host for them, and it's worthwhile listening to them anyway, especially since we only give you an hour per week, whereas Alan gives you 10 hours per week. So Alan Nathan Show, go check them out as well. And he's also on his own website, alannathan.com. But we both post under social media pages owned by the Main Street Radio Network, as much as you can own a social media page, I suppose. Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, X at Alan Nathan for Alan's show, which it's worth checking out sometimes. If I guest host, it'll be mentioned there. And then also the Silk or Joe Show, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, when and if I bother to remember to update it, because oftentimes I totally forget Saturday morning to say anything because my Saturday mornings are hectic and chaotic or sleep deprived. All right. We do have a lot to get to, but first just going to play a clip somewhat eulogizing Charlie Kirk, clip number 21. You might hear that, have heard it on the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week.
This is a man who touched an entire generation of Americans and electrified them and made them patriots. And this is not a controversial person. This is not a polarizing guy, a divisive person, a firebrand that he's being described as in the media. This is like a guy that you have a barbecue with at your summer house. This is the kind of guy, if you came back with your daughter, you'd say, thank God, we got a good one. He's a great athlete. He's a great person. He's a great Christian. You see his family out there. He had his kids not facing the photos because he wanted to protect them because he knew how evil people were. So when he goes out to these college campuses, he's not provoking anybody. He's like Socrates. He asks questions, and he does it with a smile. And there's nothing controversial about saying socialism is worse than capitalism. Men and women are different. Let's put America first, because that's all he was about, putting America first.
So I only knew of Charlie Kirk. That was Fox News's Jesse Waters, by the way, talking about Charlie Kirk. But I only knew of him, saw him from a distance a couple of times, watched him on Fox News. That's about the limit. But the crime that earned him the death penalty from Democrats is he encouraged debate. Mainstream media labeled him divisive extremist for this. How dare you have an alternate perspective and invite people to discuss it? That's divisive. Everyone should think exactly the same as a liberal. That's the only way you aren't divisive. Notice that no Democrat like AOC or Bernie Sanders or that socialist candidate Ma'am Downey in New York City or even the assassins we've had over the years, the left-wing ones, and left-wing protesters who stormed the state capitals and done $2 billion in damage during the Black Lives Matter protests, none of them were labeled as divisive. Debate and alternate perspectives bring the death penalty from liberals. Let's get some talking points out of the way real quick. As of this recording, again, September 11th, Gateway Pundit reports alleged leaked ATF document claims weapon near Charlie Kirk's assassination site had cartridges engraved with transgendered Antifa phrases and symbols. Now, for you gun controllers, because gun control is a point that's going around right now. In fact, Charlie Kirk was even being mocked by grisly leftists on social media saying he got way deserved supporting gun rights. The alleged weapon used isn't one of the ones that liberals graciously would permit us to keep. And unless the shooter stole it, the shooter passed a background check to get it. And if there were any mental health issues, any major arrests, he wouldn't or she wouldn't have obtained the weapon. Again, a weapon that Democrats have not talked about banning. It's an old bolt-action rifle. So will we find the shooter is trans as well? This was in response to the trans gun ban idea that Charlie Kirk was shot. I mean, he was shot during a question about trans shooters, according to reporter Andy Ngo. I mention all this because trans leftists just happen to be the most radicalized wing of the party. What we see from them in the way of violence is the result of messaging from the top. I mean, gee whiz, Democrats convinced them that they had to chop themselves up to be good Democrats and valuable to the party. At that point, they've kind of crossed the Rubicon on political extremism. What we see from trans left-wingers is an indicator of the party's radicalism at large. The same ideology surging them to violence to have disproportionate rates of mass shootings is the same ideology every leftist has. And they could all snap in an instant. The left is a whole is cheering the assassination. Here's some headlines and written stuff from Breitbart. Pennsylvania teacher called Charlie Kirk white nationalist that deserved no empathy because he debated liberals. Doctor in Miami said she, you know, the women are more empathetic, mind you, was glad Charlie Kirk got himself shot. Got himself shot was the exact quote from her. A doctor, do you want your life in their hands? Medical schools have been exposed to teaching this kind of radicalism. And then, of course, there's Blue Sky app, where it issued a warning to users about promoting violence in the wake of the assassination, but all the users on there are promoting violence and celebrating and discussing who needs to be killed next. And users previously engaged in promoting assassinations of conservatives are still active. So violence is very much tolerated by the left there, despite what their app gives lip service to. Gateway Pundit headline, quote, young woman who witnessed Charlie Kirk's assassination says liberals in the crowd were cheering after he was shot. Another quote headline. Stand-up comedian calls Charlie Kirk a demon, mocks his assassination as white-on-white crime. I'm glad it happened. I got giddy reading it. Another quote headline. Watch. Vile TMZ staff caught cheering moments before announcing Charlie Kirk's death. The outlet claimed it was over a car chase, but the excuse falls flat if you watch the footage. Now, this is all as expected. Remember the orgasms they had when Trump was shot and for a brief moment thought he was dead last year. I do not use that term lightly or hyperbolically. Look at the left's pedigree here. I'm recording this on September 11th, so I'll start with a relevant example. Date-relevant example. Anyone remember in November of 2023 when The Guardian published Bin Laden's letter justifying 9/11 and Democrats came out in support of it? How about all the liberals that just a month prior supported Hamas's crimes against humanity? The ones like at BLM who said that this is what they want to do here. Remember the wave of support from liberals who supported giving handouts to insurance companies under Obama when a liberal assassin killed the head of United Healthcare, the same insurer that they were supporting just 10 years prior? Or how about the wave of support from Democrats the psycho who killed two Israelis in front of the Holocaust Museum got? And as for victims of liberal policies, well, they have absolutely no such sympathy or feelings. Democrat Jasmine Crockett here quoted, this is the Liberty Daily headline, quote, Democrat Jasmine Crockett dismisses illegal alien murder victim as just a, quote, random dead person. Now, here's a Heartland Rasmussen poll. 71% of Democrats supported imprisoning Elon Musk for his role at Doge. Rasmussen 2022 poll, 45% of Democrats want the unvaccinated isolated in special government facilities, concentration camps. Fox News article from April of this year, new bombshell study reveals assassination culture spreading on the left under President Trump. Now, here's some, quote, an excerpt from the article. NCRI, that is the Network Contagion Research Institute, conducted a non-probability-based nationally representative study, a survey of more than 1,200 U.S. adults, weighted to reflect national census demographics. The findings were stark. Some 38% of respondents said it would be at least somewhat justified to murder Donald Trump, and 31% said the same about Elon Musk. When counting only left-leaning respondents, justification for killing Trump rose to 55% and Musk to 48%. So now look at this headline from a day or two before the assassination. D.C. from Gateway Pundit. Quote, D.C. grand jury declines to indict D.C. lawyer and West Point grad charged with assaulting and threatening to kill National Guardsmen. Another quote from the article, D.C. grand juries also declined to indict others charged with assaulting federal agents. These grand juries, of course, D.C., 90%+ Democrat, and they don't care that you're assaulting federal agents or threatening to kill National Guardsmen. Now, some reaction from the higher-ups of the party. I've just discussed the people on the ground. Democrat Senator Murphy said that Trump has to answer for creating permissiveness for this violence. Gateway Pundit reported that liberal news outlet Jezebel had an article days prior to the assassination claiming they paid witches to put a curse on Charlie Kirk. Senator Elizabeth Warren angrily refused to tone down her rhetoric after the assassination. Illinois Governor Pritzker blamed Trump in January 6th for Charlie Kirk's assassination. And Democrats in the House of Representatives, when Congresswoman Lauren Boebert asked for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk, Democrats shouted her down. You can, if you watch the clip, you can hear them screaming at her to shut the heck up. And then we get on over to MSNBC, where Matthew Dowd, who was the chief of staff for George Bush's 2004 campaign and then flipped the liberal when Trump ran, blamed Charlie Kirk for the shooting, but then also said it could have just been a supporter firing off guns in celebration. This is what liberals think of you, that you'd be so reckless to do that, and even if you didn't, you deserve to die anyway because you aren't a Democrat. So this is where the state of left-wing-ism is at the moment. Very violent. And is it any wonder that we're getting all these executions, mass shootings, etc., from this very violent people? I mean, Jewish, Black Lives Matter. You remember the Ukrainian refugee who got killed, right? This got buried in the headlines after Charlie Kirk was shot. But before that, we were talking about how a random career criminal executed a Ukrainian refugee for being white in the subway, according to how he was shouting after the execution. Well, Black Lives Matter said the oppressed are entitled to violence. That's what they said on Instagram. Moments, days later, Charlie Kirk is shot. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit NorthwesternMutual.com to find an advisor near you.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, my co-host Joe with y'all here this weekend, and we're joined for this segment by Michael Letts. He is CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for Community Service and has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement and is currently chaplain with several agencies as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Michael Letts, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm great, Joseph. Always a privilege to be with you. We thank you for the opportunity. Tragic event yesterday, but it's certainly not going to silence us, that's for sure.
No, and that seems to have been the intent. I mean, you have Charlie Kirk, who his whole thing was debating people. You know, he wasn't just, you know, the left tries to paint him as some radical extremist. I've seen the headlines in the New York Times' attempt to give him an obituary, and they just make him sound like some right-wing radical writing to himself in the corner. But his whole thing was, I have these ideas, you have your ideas, let's discuss them. What was so dangerous about that?
Exactly. You're exactly right. That's what made Charlie such a special person, is he cared about people. I think that came across. You know, Charlie could have taken the position, Joseph, that I'll only do these kind of issues in an auditorium where there are screenings, you know, that you have to go through, where, you know, there's adequate security, et cetera, and probably would have been better off for him personally. That wasn't Charlie's style. Charlie wanted to be out in the courtyard, out in the open. People could hear his voice. The people walking by could say, I don't know that I agree with that. Let me go over and talk to him and find out why he feels that way. That was what Charlie was all about. And he gave his life for having that ability to do that. But his message still resonates, and I believe now it resonates 100-fold over what it did before. And so they didn't silence conservative cause. They actually just emboldened it and made it come out even stronger today and in the days ahead.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure that you know, from the reactions I've seen from the left, I'm not even sure that some of them even care about the long-term implications of this strengthening a movement. That just seems like they just want blood, especially the rank and file out there on social media.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joseph. Where does all this come from? I've been probably done 30 shows in the last 12 hours. And the question, where does all this come from? What does this mean? Why is it happening? You know, it gets boiled down to one particular issue. It's a grab for power. They have had the power, the leftist liberal ideology, for generations. They lost it this last November. They're frantic because of the losing it. Their power, that when they had it, they used for one purpose alone. That was their nefarious causes, to enrich themselves, you know, go after people that they didn't like, to destroy the basic freedoms that this country has always possessed. And now that they're out of power, they're desperately trying to figure out how to come back. The problem is they're so obsessed that they've seared their conscience. They literally are willing to do assassinations, tell their mother whatever it takes to try to get this power back. Little do they realize that they, how desperate their measures are becoming, and how the American people can see right through it and are rejecting their entire cause, their entire pleas. But they'll never know that, because their conscience is so seared. They're determined to do it whether they think America supports it or not. So it becomes a very concerning aspect for the rest of us, because I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I don't think it is in any way a one-time event or the end of it. I do think there is a solution. And, Joseph, I think that solution has been made very clear even on your show. We have done a fantastic job of uncovering nefarious activities by the leftist liberals and what they have done to destroy this country. Now it's time for the heavy hand of justice to prevail. People don't want to see the wrong that they've done. They want to know what has been done about it. I think it's time the administration move, and move expeditiously, to convene military tribunals, to issue indictments, and to issue teams to go out and start rounding these people up.
Yeah, if such extreme reaction from the left is what they think is called for, it's only fitting that the right escalate as well, similarly, to protect itself, because at this point, no one is really safe, are they?
No, and we've given that impression, Joseph. I ask you, I ask all of your listeners the question, name me some indictments that have come down or some convictions that have occurred here recently on all the nefarious things that have happened. You can't, because it hasn't happened yet, which reinforces the idea that, they holler and yell and say I'm a bad boy, but at the end of the day, nothing happens. I think I'll do it again. We can't afford that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many of these people that we see, celebrating this are actually members of the government? I mean, gee whiz, you had earlier this year, James Comey had that death threat that he posted against Trump on social media, pretty much. And nothing came of that at all. And in D.C. earlier this week, they've convened grand juries to try and indict people for attacking ICE, attacking federal law enforcement, and threatening to kill National Guardsmen. Grand juries refused to do anything about it.
Yeah. So you see, the message is becoming very clear. And that is why we have to do something different. Because what the message is now, especially if you're connected. And remember, the liberal left thinks that they are connected. But of course, to be truthful, they were connected when they were in power, okay? So they think they still have that prestige. They think that they're above the law. And they're demonstrating that by allowing things to happen. Nobody's being held accountable for it. A lot of great rhetoric, but no action. People see that, and they begin to lose hope. When you lose hope, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to move forward, Joseph.
And then on the other side, they see no one's being held accountable, and they think that's a license to continue doing the violence that they've been doing and advocating for.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, it's very clear what's going on, and it's very clear that there is a solution. The question is, do we have the moral fortitude and the courage? And that's something you have to admire Charlie for. He certainly had the courage. He didn't mind going anywhere and debating and standing up for his principles, did he? Made no difference where the campus was or how many people were for or against him. He always took the position, and he let his voice be heard loud and clear. Do we still have that? Well, I can tell you this. I question in our government roles whether it's there, but I believe the American people are finding their voice. So help us encourage the administration. Lead the way. Show us that people are held accountable once again, because that's what's lacking in this country. There's no accountability. Mr. President, the administration, you have the ability to demand that accountability be had. Exercise it now. We back you. We support you. Let's bring this to a closure before many more people suffer the same fate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is only going to escalate, especially with the midterms next year. Think that there is going to be some kind of intimidation campaign next year, especially if Democrats were to lose, the chaos that would erupt there if we see this continued message that this sort of behavior is acceptable.
Well, I think you have the key there, Joseph. We're looking at escalation either way. Escalation before to intimidate people, conservatives, from showing up to vote. And if for some reason that doesn't work and the Democrats take a pounding and it gets even worse for them, additional escalation and retaliation for it. But you have to go to where the source is at. Go to the head, the leadership that's providing this ideology, which we already know, Russiagate and others, what these people have done, and go to the funding source. Take them both out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, let's appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. If you could stick around for the next segment to continue talking about this political violence, I'd
be
really appreciated. Thank you. Listeners, as you can hear, we got more coming up, so stick with us.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know Vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
It's the time of year when young adults are off to college or starting their first career. One important aspect of moving into adulthood is making the transition from pediatric to adult healthcare. Lucille Aceta from CVS Health shares more.
The right time to transition out of pediatric care can sneak up on parents. So have conversations early with your teenagers to help them prepare, especially if they live with a chronic illness. Start by teaching them how to refill a prescription and that their local pharmacist is a valuable resource. For more complex conditions, CVS specialty teams can help them as they move into adult care.
Madison Miller lives with a chronic illness and managed her move to adult care at 19.
Change can be uncomfortable at first, but now I realize how important learning to own my healthcare has been to my personal growth. With the help of CVS Specialty, prescription reminders, ordering through the app, and mail delivery have made managing my chronic condition easier.
For more helpful tips and information, visit cvshealth.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here. And we are still joined for the segment by Michael Letts, CEO and founder of InvestUSA. And we're talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now, before we get into this conversation, though, I just want to set the stage about the extremism from the left with some old clips that we've had, probably been playing on the show for 5 years now, almost. These were assembled in 2020. There's about a minute and a half, so Michael Letts, if you could bear with us, we'll have clips 12 and 13, actors, congressmen, celebrities, and pundits advocating violence.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome. Anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That last bit with the gunshots was actually a video from one of the Black Lives Matter protests of a truck driving by, had like Trump flags or something on it, being shot at, obviously. So, Michael Letts, that is 2020 is when those clips were assembled, some of them going back to 2017, 2016. And now you have Democrats out there trying to blame conservatives for the violence in the country. But this is where they were 5 years ago, and it's only gotten worse since then.
You're right. It's only gotten worse. And, you know, and they say we're the violent ones. That's just amazing. The hypocrisy that has come out over the last 6 months from the Democratic liberal side is just shocking. When this is the part of the problem that we're talking about on the show. There's no accountability. And here's the sad part about it. You can't get accountability when they won't admit they've done anything wrong, when it's always somebody else's fault. The only way you get accountability then is to bring about courses of action. And that's what we're lacking. Let's just admit it. Let's put it on the table so we can all recognize it and then solve it. We are lacking in terms of enforcing and making people accountable for their actions. We've done a great job of discovering what actions they've been taking. We have not done a great job in enforcing accountability for those actions. And until we do, things will get worse, not better. I think we've been fed up with what we've seen over the last 24 hours. But maybe not.
Yeah, it seems like that they're using, you know, what happens is they say that the right-wingers are radical. Charlie Kirk is a radical, for example. And then it's the left saying this, that he's the radical, he needs to shut up. And again, all he's done is the harmless act of opening up for debate. Anything that he cares to talk about or that the left cares to talk about, yeah, I'm willing to debate you. And he's called a radical for that. And they're saying that his ideas are extremist, that what he says is radical, that what he says radicalizes people. And then when he gets shot, they blame because when he gets shot by one of their own, what do? They don't say, oh, well, we're the radicals. No, they say he's the radical and it's his fault for radicalizing everyone so far away from where the Democrats are, I guess.
Yeah, you know, again, Joseph, it's so sad that you're listening to what you're saying, because that is exactly what's transpiring. And there's no accountability. And what do I mean by keep coming back to accountability? If they never admit they're wrong, then how do you expect to be held accountable for their own actions? They think everything they do is right. They can't do any wrong. They're above the law. If the law tells them they can't do it, then they just ignore it. They're going to do it anyway because they're above the law. Well, folks, you can have a civil society when you do that, because there's always going to be conflict. I'm going to think my way is better than yours, just the way life works. And that's why we have law and order, so we can determine it together as a body. What are the laws we're going to live under? What are the consequences going to be? But when you ignore that, which is what we have established over the years through the leftist liberal policies of having judges ignore the law, do what you can to try to rehabilitate this person, give them a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. And just like the poor girl that was stabbed in, on the train in Charlotte, been in prison for 14 times and being early released every time. We're not talking about jail. We're talking about prison. 14 times and early release by an activist judge trying to make a statement that we can rehabilitate him. And then he takes the innocent life of somebody who came to this country to escape danger and fear. And that's what she gets. You know, we're right down the street from Charlotte in Columbia, South Carolina, my hometown. We had another girl who was shot and killed, carjacked, senselessly killed, just shot point blank for no reason. And this person had been arrested 41 times and put back out on the street every time. These are the kind of policies that the leftist liberals propagate. They think that benefit putting them back in power. They don't care about Americans. They don't care about you and I and our safety. And it's time that they be held accountable for propagating these proposals and putting them into place and harming American citizens.
Yeah, I've heard talked about maybe holding judges accountable when the person that they release early ends up going out and committing another crime. I mean, I was just talking last week, I think, or no, a couple of weeks ago, anyway, when Trump started his crackdown on D.C., how one of the crimes involved there, one of the egregious examples of judicial activism was this guy, gang member, teenager, illegally in possession of a gun, shot up a library, fortunately didn't kill anybody. But then the judge just dropped all, the prosecutor dropped all the charges. Nope, we're not going to charge this guy. And then he goes on to actually murder someone with a gun. And then what are we told? Oh, gun control is what we need. Even though this guy is in D.C. getting a gun where it's very difficult to get one.
You know, we hear this story so often, Joseph. I mean, I'm hoping that we don't become callous towards it. But that is the reality of where we're at today. And what is most frustrating, and again, I'm getting back to pushing the administration, we have a solution. It'd be another thing if we were all staring at a problem and I had no idea where to even start looking. But we've got the solution down, called accountability, and it's called putting it into place now. We've discovered enough of the nefarious activities. Not that we want to stop there. We want to continue and dig them all up, but deal with the ones you've already dug up and hold those people accountable. I think it will send a clear message to the rest of the criminal element and to the far leftist activists and the leftist ideology that makes absolutely no sense, that has no sense because of it, that you better think twice before you start continuing to take these hateful actions, because you're going to have to answer for it.
And this kind of gets into why you suggest military tribunals, because there's a lot of left-wing bureaucrats. I mean, let's face it, the D.C. area, what, they voted 96% for Kamala Harris. And as we were talking in the last segment, the grand jury comprised of people from the D.C. area saw no problem with people assaulting and attacking federal law enforcement and threatening to kill National Guardsmen. Didn't think that that was a crime, even though under law it very much is. And that's the pool of people who are working in government right now, in the bureaucracy, in the Department of Justice.
And you see, it comes in a number of different aspects that you just mentioned, Joseph. First of all, the grand juries are a selection of people within the community that sit in a grand jury box and determine whether to go along with issuing indictments or not. But when they have the same issues themselves, they're certainly not going to allow for somebody to go after people for doing the things that they themselves do. You got a problem getting your grand jury to issue an indictment. Then you've got a problem getting a jury bringing about a conviction. Then you've got a problem with judges even pressing to get a verdict, or instead trying, and if they do get a verdict, because you happen to have some decent jurors on there, then the judges exercise their authority to downplay it, to change the sentence, to make it where it's not that significant and detrimental. And when it's not significant and detrimental, then there's no real consequence of that action. They'll turn around and do it again the minute you let them out.
Hmm. And it's tragic that that is the state that we've allowed this country to get to. I mean, us as citizens, and just the ideologies too that we've allowed to take root. I mean, we should have taken this threat seriously 10 years ago when it started cropping up in colleges, but instead we're like, oh, haha, it's just college students, and they're going to drop it the moment that they get it into reality out of college. That didn't happen.
No, it didn't. They're trying to make their fantasy our reality. Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, let's appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show. 10 seconds left. Where can I just find out more about InvestUSA?
INVESTUSA.org. God bless you. God bless America, Joseph. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and prayers to Charlie Kirk's family and survivors. More Silk Road Joe Show after this break.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Brissione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's chili relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That chili relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs. Made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over a million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas, from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
I know that this is a time of great fear and uncertainty for so many people. I know it's a time of concern for people who see our rights being assailed, being trampled on, and even being rolled back. I know that this is difficult, but I remind you that this has never been easy. We have always had to work to move this country forward to achieve the great ideals of our founding fathers. And it has been people, individuals, who have banded together, ordinary people, who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals, who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. That was Obama's Attorney General Loretta Lynch in 2017 talking about the first Trump administration and how they need to march, bleed, and die to fight him. We've seen that apparently the left has decided to inflict that upon others. And boy, yeah, my friend of mine just during the break brought it up to me, sent me a text about it. CNN, tactless as usual, they decided to fact check the last thing that Charlie Kirk was saying right before he got shot. Go figure. But let's hear some more about this extremism from the left. This is from 2023 MSNBC's Alicia Mendez and former Senator Claire McCaskill. Clip 7, please.
In actuality, he's the leader of the actual threat, the real threat coming from within. I know I do not need to convince you of that. But we heard Christopher Wray said that domestic violent extremism, biggest threat to the homeland, the latest DHS terrorism warning bulletin, he is the one stoking fear. He is the one stoking violence around this country. I don't know, Claire, if it is irony or audacity that he would talk about the threat from within.
Well, it's a little of both. But I let me even bring in what I think is also a very dangerous thread to this conversation. Please. A lot of people have tried to draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler and the use of the terminology like vermin and the drive that those men had towards autocracy and dictatorship. The difference, though, I think makes Donald Trump even more dangerous, and that is he has no philosophy he believes in.
More dangerous than Hitler. That's the rhetoric from MSNBC in 2023. 8 months later, assassination attempt. But let's hear some more. This isn't just a former senator and MSNBC host. This is a sitting congressman on MSNBC in 2023. Clip number 6, please.
That man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be—he has to be eliminated.
Has to be eliminated. Someone took him up on that 7 or 8 months later. Let's hear Joe Biden, though, in 2022 about what would happen if you failed to stop Trump. Clip number 8.
And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Trump is a threat to this nation. But Trump is even more dangerous now. No, I'm serious. He's unhinged. He snapped. He says if he loses, there will be a bloodbath. Trump said if he wins, he'll be a dictator on day one. He means it, folks. We're not going to let that happen. Over my dead body will happen. America needs to wake up and realize that Trump and his mega republic is what they're trying to do. We're going to join them, we're going to engage them, and we're going to stop them.
Well, that was actually from 2024. I got the dates mixed up with another one. But guess what? Trump is president now, and the only terrorism and the only bloodbath we've seen is from Democrats. So, can Democrats at least condemn terrorism that we've seen? Clip number 10. Let's hear if Senator Chuck Schumer, the leader of Democrats in the Senate, could.
What's your opinion of the violence against Tesla, their products? What are your thoughts on that? Do you denounce the violence against Tesla products and dealerships and cars in the streets?
I can't talk about Tesla, but Elon Musk is a disaster for America, and America knows it.
So you can't condemn the violence, but you can totally condemn the person it's directed at. Great. And that was April of this year, by the way. February from this year, let's hear from a senator, a congresswoman, and another senator. If we could have clip number 11, I'll get to who these people are shortly after, but senator, Republican, representative, and another senator, all Democrats.
We have to fight this in the courts. We have to fight this in the Congress. We have to fight this in the streets. Stop the coup. Stop the grift. Stop Elon Musk.
Shut down the Senate! Yeah! We are at war!
Did anybody vote for a government of billionaires for billionaires? Yeah! Are you ready to stand up and defend our democracy? Yeah! What we're in the face of right now is an authoritarian takeover of our country, and we say hell no!
The first voice you heard was Senator Chris Van Hollen, who loves illegal immigrants and human traffickers more than murdered constituents of his, and apparently his voters are okay with that. Then you heard Congresswoman LaMonica McIver, who is best known for assaulting an ICE agent earlier this year. And finally, Senator Jeff Merkley, who hasn't done anything yet egregious that I'm aware of, other than say they need that Trump being democratically elected is a coup. You know, but they're saying now all of this must have been super recent and because of Trump. That's what the media narrative is right now. It's Trump who's allowing this violent rhetoric to happen. If we could have clip number 16, this is a Democrat congressman from 2011.
I'm proud to be here with people who are willing to stand up. I'm proud to be here with people who understand that it's more than just sending an email that gets you going. Every once in a while, you got to get out of the streets and get a little bloody when necessary.
2011. Okay, Mitt Romney is going to be the presidential candidate next year. Lukewarm Mitt Romney, Obama light, and they're saying that you need to get bloody to fight him. And that was Democrat Congressman Guano? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Call him Bat Guano. Anyway, what conclusion are we left with about the left? Well, a couple of days ago, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller before the assassination, if we could have clip number 18.
Just think about what is happening in our major cities, the bloodbaths every single weekend. When you have Democrat politicians like Pritzker and Newsom that are freeing illegal alien pedophiles, illegal alien child abductors, illegal alien murderers back into our streets to kidnap people, to beat them senseless, to stab them and shoot them to death, this is terrorism being waged against the American people. And then you look at that video that chills our very souls out of Charlotte, that beautiful young woman stabbed to death, murdered savagely on a subway, just trying to get home from work, fleeing war, only to run into a Democrat war zone here in our country. That monster, 14 prior arrests, in and out, in and out. The Democrat policies of catch and release for barbarians and savages is truly an act of terror, Sean, against the American people. It cannot be explained unless you deeply, fundamentally hate America.
And Governor Pritzker, that he mentioned, blamed the Charlie Kirk assassination on Trump and January 6th. And Black Lives Matter said that for the Ukrainian refugee who was murdered, that black people are oppressed and have a right to violence. Any wonder that we're seeing this violence now? Thank you for tuning in this week's Silk or Joe Show. Our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.